Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Simon, ready? 3, 2, 1. You know, we live in a world that's constantly on the move. For generations, people have always seemed to be busy, busy, busy. Every time you talk to somebody, that seems to be the answer. Constantly coming and going, driving here and flying there, rushing to job interviews, going to class, taking the kids to soccer practice or dance practice, or packing everybody into the car and heading to church. The list literally goes on and on. But you know, a little more than 17 weeks ago, something we never saw coming interrupted our very busy world. Suddenly, we found ourselves spending a whole lot more time at home with those that we love, which has been surprisingly amazing for some, but very stressful for others. Now, during that exact same span of time, people have told me that they've become busier than ever before. But then I've talked to others who've said the complete opposite. They said they feel like their lives have been kind of paused. The way that they lived, everything has changed and slowed down. But all these people, even though they see this time that we've been in two different ways, most of them seem to agree on one thing. They're tired. They feel tired. They say the same things. I hear it over and over. I don't know what it is. I don't know why I'm so tired. No matter how much sleep I get, no matter how many vacation days I take, I'm so tired. That's the response I hear seemingly everywhere. And even though we're surrounded by technology that's supposed to make our lives more simple and easier, true rest seems harder than ever to come by. Now, none of this caught the good Lord by surprise. He wasn't busy in heaven dealing with things in the Middle East and go, "Oh, what's the deal with that COVID? Where did that come from? That snuck up on me." No, no, no. God knew exactly what was happening from the beginning to the end. And even in the midst of the chaos, he's inviting us to pause, to be still, to know that he is still God, even in the midst of everything that we're seeing. Welcome to Calvary Church. Good to have you back this week. We're so glad that you've joined us. And whether you're watching online from home or on vacation, or maybe you're joining us at one of our summer Sunday watch services, welcome home. We're glad that you're with us. We're glad that you're tracking through the Summer in the Psalms series. It's such a great psalm to clear the clutter in our brain and the busy and get our focus back on Christ. And so today we're continuing our Summer in the Psalms message series with episode number two. And so my question today is actually the title of my message. Are you ready for rest? Are you ready for that? Sometimes we think we are, but I think we need to get to a place where we're sick of being tired. You see, the Psalms of Scriptures provides us an opportunity to slow down, to reorient ourselves away from the busy of this world, and then we get to kind of recapture our focus on Christ. So let's look at how David frames it up. Psalm 62, verses 5 to 8 says this: "Yes, my soul finds rest in God. My hope comes from him." So my hope doesn't come from the million other things that we take for a test drive. It only comes from him. That's where we find our rest. "Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God." Doesn't depend on you. Doesn't depend on the people in your life. Doesn't depend on your job. It depends only on him. "He is my mighty rock. He's my refuge. Trust in him at all times. Not sometimes, no, all the time. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him. In other words, lay it all down before him. Why? For God is our refuge. Another translation says God is our rest. That's where we go. I think we should take a little minute, even before we jump into the rest of the message, and pause for a moment and just pray. Invite the Holy Spirit to come into this moment as we consider what rest is truly all about, and allow the Word of God to sink deep in our hearts. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the opportunity we have to gather in whatever form we can, wherever we are in the world. Today we gather as your church. We pray, God, that you would lead us into an understanding and a revelation of what rest is truly all about. We thank you for the scripture, for the Psalms that lead us to a place of focusing on you. And we ask today that you'd help us to step into a new dimension of what it all means. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, I can actually relate to people who are a little addicted to being busy. As a matter of fact, when I'm in the midst of a really crazy, busy season in my life, I find myself talking about rest. You know, talking about slowing down and looking forward to just doing nothing. Man, when I get some time off, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to relax. But interestingly enough, when those nothing opportunities finally come, what do we feel? Oftentimes we feel nothing. To be honest, I kind of struggle myself with feeling like I'm wasting my time, like I should be doing something right now that's more productive than just sitting here on the patio or watching the ocean or sleeping. It seems like I should be doing something that's more advantageous to what God's called me to do. So why do we feel that way? I think it's because sometimes we get so caught up in the chaos of our busy schedules. We find meaning in our responsibilities, and we try to discover our worth in getting stuff done. We become addicted to the busy. Must have me some busy. Need to keep doing something. We spend countless hours sometimes completing a work project, even if it's at the expense of our health or the people that we love. We pack our weekends with activities and errands while checking another item off that to-do list. But when there's nothing to do, when life's demands momentarily disappear, when there's a pandemic and all our destinations and our activities are on hold, we face one of the greatest challenges imaginable: learning how to rest. Not as easy as it sounds. So are we ready for that? Are we ready to rest? You know, one of my favorite stories about Mark Twain is that they say that Mark Twain loved to go fishing, but he actually hated catching fish, something that I could actually relate to. See, the problem was is that when he went fishing to rest, catching the fish, it kind of ruined his relaxation. Since he had to take that fish off, wiggling and dying in his hand, and do something with it. He liked sitting by the river. He liked waiting and sitting in the sun, but he didn't like actually catching the fish. As a matter of fact, when he wanted to relax and just do nothing, people thought, oh man, you are so lazy, just doing nothing. But he came up with a great idea, because he knew that when he went fishing, he could get all the rest that he needed. As a matter of fact, people would see him on the side of the riverbank and go, oh, look at him. Don't bother him. He's fishing. He's just enjoying himself. So what he decided to do, so that he wouldn't have to deal with fish, is he took his fishing pole, he took his fishing line and his bobber, and he took the hook off. And he just threw that thing out in the river, and he laid there on the riverbank, resting all the day long. And he would just sit there by the river, and nobody would have an issue with what he was doing. That way he could rest all he wanted, and he wouldn't be bothered by man or fish. It was a brilliant idea. See, the truth is, we don't need to feel guilty about resting. If we understand its importance, and its meaning in our lives. It's not about being unproductive or lazy. As a matter of fact, it's the complete opposite of that. When we learn to rest in Christ, it ensures greater productivity and effectiveness in every part of who we are. And sometimes taking the time to do nothing is just the something that you need to be doing. As a matter of fact, the Bible is filled with people who powerfully connected with God when they took time in their lives to rest, when they stepped away from all the noise of the world. And as we read Psalm 62, David took that time to reflect on God's promises, that he was a God who would keep them safe, a God that they would find rest in. And then he wrote down these reflections, these poems or psalms, so that you and I could draw from their strength today, even in the day that we're living in. So the Bible speaks very highly of rest. It's a repeated theme, actually, throughout Scripture, and it begins with the week of creation. Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 to 3 says, "By the seventh day, God had finished the work he began doing. So on the seventh day, he rested," or he ceased from all his work. "Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done." So God created for 6 days. He went flat out doing this amazing thing. Then he rested, not because he was tired out and he couldn't keep going. He was trying to set an example for mankind. He was trying to set an example for you and I. You see, the Ten Commandments made resting on the Sabbath a requirement of the law. God said, "Remember the Sabbath, make it holy." It was important to God. And it wasn't something new. It had been around since creation. It was actually a covenant. Rest was a covenant. All God's people and their servants and their animals were to have 1 day in 7 to rest. And the command to rest was not an excuse to be lazy. As a matter of fact, you had to work for 6 days to get to that Sabbath rest. Even the land itself needed to rest. So why was it a command? 3 simple words. It honors God. You see, it's not just about you. It's not just about you taking another day off from work. It's honoring God in that moment. It's ceasing from all of your doing so that you can recognize that he is first place in your life. So resting helps to reset our priorities. God is very serious about rest. Basically, we're saying when we rest, I'm going to honor you by doing what you did. I'm going to follow your lead. You see, God desires rest for each of us. And it doesn't come naturally. It's not an easy thing for most people to slow down. We have to discipline ourselves. It sounds completely opposite to what we're actually doing. Sometimes we need to discipline ourselves to slow down. You see, to rest, we have to trust that God will take care of things for us. We have to trust him that if we take a day off, that the world will not suddenly grind to a halt. It will not stop turning on its axis because we're not there. You see, for the Christ follower, the ultimate rest is found in Christ himself. He invites all who are weary and burdened. "Hey, bring that heaviness and come to me. Cast your care, cast your worry, your fear. Bring it to me." Matthew 11, 28 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." And what? "I will give you rest." That's a pretty good exchange. You bring your junk, you bring all your heaviness, all your weariness, and in exchange, I will give you my rest. You see, it's only in him that we find our complete rest from the cares and the heaviness of this world, and from the need to work so hard to make ourselves acceptable to him. You can't be good enough. You can't say the right things all the time to please him. It's not about but earning your spot in God's gaze. He loves you. He accepts you. Bring all of that pulls you down and lay it down at his feet, and he will give you rest. Jesus is our Sabbath rest. So it's in him that we find complete rest from the strain and the struggle of self-effort, because he alone is worthy of our praise. He alone is righteous and holy. All right, let me give you four psalms that will help in this area. Four psalms of rest, each one reminding us of that God is a loving Father, a God who provides for us, who protects us, and keeps us. He's the one who's faithful. He's the one who's true. And it's in his presence that we find rest for our weary souls and life, no matter what's happening around us. So even in this time when we're feeling, hey, man, how you doing? I'm tired. Listen, doesn't matter how much time you sleep or how much time you take off, you're going to continue to feel that if you don't find rest in your soul. And the only way that we can do that is to connect with him. So the first one, four psalms of rest. The first one, the Lord is my shepherd. I think Psalm 23 is the perfect BC psalm, right? It talks about green pastures, quiet waters, paths and valleys. It sounds like a hike here on the West Coast. It's a beautiful BC psalm. It's a picture of rest. It also occurs to me that we have more in common with sheep than we think we do. See, we can both get lost without hardly trying. Shepherds take care of sheep, plural, right? A bunch of sheep. But in this psalm, the relationship is between one sheep and one shepherd. It's personal. It's more intimate. Psalm 23, 1-3 says, "The Lord is my shepherd." So the emphasis is on mine. I lack nothing. We know he's everybody's shepherd, but this is written from the perspective of somebody with an understanding of his own relationship with God. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. And he guides me along right paths for his name's sake. You see, these words are from David, but I can't help but read them as my own. I think we were meant to do that. Each one of us, as we read these words, the Lord is my shepherd. He guides me. He provides for me. He protects me from my enemies. That's number one. The Lord is my shepherd. Number two, the Lord sustains me. You know, when I was a kid, I used to struggle to sleep. It was not something that came easy to me. And I would sometimes lay there in my bed, literally in the dark, terrified that if I made a move, that if the bed cover moved, that somebody would break into my home, and if they saw me move, they would come and take me away. They would kidnap me. It's terrible, right? As a kid, this gave me nightmares. And so I'd wake up, and I'd lay there like immobilized sometimes in the middle of the night, thinking that if I could just stay still enough, nobody's going to take me. And my mother used to come in, and I'd wake up in a cold sweat, and she said, "What's wrong? What's wrong? I'm just afraid." You know, as a young boy, I had to process all the things that I was dreaming about and thinking about. And so she would calm me down, and she would pray with me. But she taught me more. She taught me more than just saying, every time you have this bad dream, every time you wake up with this terror, I'll always be there. No, she didn't just do that. She, as long as she was there, she would come to my side. But she did more than that. She taught me the Word of God. She said, "I'm going to give you a psalm, and I want you to memorize this psalm. And every time you feel that fear rise within you, I want you to say it out loud." This is great for you. Those of you that are struggling with sleep, this is some great word that will help get you through the night. If your kids are struggling, again, a wonderful psalm. Psalm 3:5, "I lie down and sleep. I wake up again because it's the Lord who sustains me." He sustains me. It's guaranteed as I'm going to sleep, I will wake up again with his hand upon me. He keeps me from harm. He is unmatched in power. When you see how the scripture describes him, Psalm 46, verses 7 and 11 says, "The Lord of armies is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold." Psalm 95, 3 also said he's this great God and great king. But I love this term, the Lord of armies. This name for God appears most often in the minor prophets, referring to God as the Lord of armies. And the reason that they referred to him that way was to remind God's people of his ability to keep them from harm. The Lord of armies will guide you, will protect you, will keep you and your family. Number three, the Lord is my refuge. Wow, I don't even know where to start with this one because what can I say about Psalm 91? Literally, I live in this psalm. I could take a whole month and teach on Psalm 91 in a series of its own. And you know what? Someday I likely will. I've prayed this psalm over my family through some of the greatest challenges that we've ever faced. As my boys grew up for our marriage, I have lived in this psalm. As a matter of fact, this is a great COVID-19 psalm for those of you that are praying for your families during a time when we're trying to stay healthy and strong. Psalm 91, verses 9 to 10 says, "If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you, no plague will come near your home." We hear a lot of news about the plague that's going around the world. Stand in God's promise, and God will protect you in those moments. Number four, and the last one, the Lord is near. Throughout Scripture, we're instructed to remember the ways that God has acted over the years on your behalf, and to share those stories, to keep telling them to the next generation. So as your children grow, as the next generation comes along, tell those stories of what God did in your life because it builds their faith. It strengthens them. Psalm 145, verse 18 says, "The Lord is near to all who call out to him, all who call out to him with integrity." So in this hymn of praise that's attributed to King David, who has determined in his life to praise God's name forever. He's going to do that no matter what. But he also commits to do it from one generation to the next. You know, there's great power in saying something out loud, in speaking that truth, speaking it to yourself and speaking it to other people. You know, the Hebrew word for remember is zakar. And it encompasses much more than thinking or having knowledge. It implies action. So verse 18 tells us that when we call out to God, that he is near. Let me tell you this. Today, wherever you are, you can call out to him right now. Perhaps there's some of you that are watching today's broadcast and you don't know Christ in a personal way. Today, this moment has been designed by God for you to hear this truth, to finally step into a place where you can rest, where that weariness, that tired feeling that you struggle with, that you can be released from it. And it comes from knowing the one who is our rest. Jesus is our Sabbath rest. So today, if you call out to him, if you pray this prayer that I'm about to pray, go ahead in the chat and click on raise your hand, and one of our team would love to agree and pray with you. But raise your hand and say, "Pastor Steve, pray for me. I need to know Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior." And maybe some of you know Christ, but you've been struggling with this. You're exhausted. Maybe you're overwhelmed. Today is the day to enter into his rest, to cease from your strain and your struggle, and understand that when you take that time, that it's not just time to recoup. And it is. You get refreshed. But it's also time to reestablish your priorities and understand that God is first in my life. And for those of you that don't know that, today is the day that when you pray this prayer, you start that journey. So would you pray with me? Wherever you are, wherever you're watching this, bow your heads with me as we pray. Father, I pray for those today that need to know Jesus.
Today we pray this prayer together. Lord God, thank you for dying on a cross for me. Thank you for being my rest, for forgiving me of my sin. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And help me to walk in the hope that you gave your Son to die for. And I pray that I would speak that hope wherever I go. Now I also pray for those that know Christ that are tired, that are exhausted. Maybe you're overwhelmed by everything that you see and hear in the news, and maybe the last 17 weeks have not been good for you. Today I pray that the anointing of the Holy Spirit would come upon you wherever you are right now, and that you would experience His rest. Take the time to pause and know that He is still God, God of our world, God of our lives, God of our families. And in that moment, experience His rest and know that you can have it not just on one day of the week, but every day that you live in the midst of chaos, you can experience that peace and that rest. So God, I pray for those that have prayed that prayer, that commitment for the first time, that you would strengthen that decision and that you would touch everyone else so that they would walk in the truth of what we've discussed today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I want to congratulate you for making that decision today. And if that's you, please let someone on our team know that you've made the decision. We'd like to send you some resources to help you along your way.